You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
My name's actually Felix.
The weird, the whack, the wonderful.
Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
Last week on Stranger Than Fact, we talked about the Hollow Earth theory, which claimed that there were ancient human civilizations living underground. The most extreme proponents of those theories claimed that the Nazis, including Adolf Hitler himself, fled to these underground cities at the end of World War II. Though, subterranean Nazi societies aren't the most ridiculous piece on the board here. There is something a lot more unusual living underground, so they say. This week, we're talking about giants. That's right, big ol' fee-fi-fo-fum giants, which, I'll admit, doesn't sound like the most believable thing on Earth, and you're right, this isn't an especially popular theory. Most self-respecting conspiracy theorists wouldn't be caught dead believing in this kind of stuff, but that's what makes it interesting. Despite how ridiculous and obscure it sounds, there are people who have dedicated their lives to proving the existence of giants, and we're going to talk about some of those remarkable individuals. The story that brought this theory to my attention was the tale of Mount Shasta, and one J.C. Brown. Brown was a bit of an eccentric figure. He claimed that he had explored the interior of Mount Shasta, a mountain in Northern California, and found evidence of a lost race. More specifically, in 1934, J.C. Brown claimed to have stumbled across an abandoned village containing vast amounts of copper and gold, as well as a number of skeletons. An interview with the Stockton Record attributed the following quote. "In one long room were laid at angles to the wall 27 skeletons. The smallest of which was 6 feet 6 inches, and the tallest more than 10 feet. In another room lay, apparently embalmed by some secret process, the bodies of a man and a woman, dressed in royal robes, whom I believe were the king and queen of this race." Upon his apparent discovery, Brown travelled to the city of Stockton, California, where he shared his journey with the previously mentioned newspaper and started recruiting for another expedition. A journalist for the Stockton Record wrote the following.
"Meetings were held twice daily, and the followers grew to 80 in number. Brown's original story expanded to such an extent that his followers were sold, and many believed that the cavern held the secret to the lost race and continent of Lemuria. Brown, despite the fact that in the early part of the year he had lived in the federal shelter, allegedly told his organization that he was worth $40 million and owned 5 boats, one of which, a glass-bottomed craft, would arrive here Sunday to take the party north to search for the lost continent off the coast of Washington."
So let's talk about this lost continent of Lemuria. Lemuria was proposed as a scientific theory in 1864 by zoologist Philip Sclater to explain the presence of lemur fossils in Madagascar and India. He proposed that a small continent had previously formed a land bridge between India and Madagascar before sinking, which he named Lemuria. The Lemuria theory was later disproved by the concept of continental drift, but the thought of a sunken continent tickled the minds of many, who adopted it into a number of fringe esoteric beliefs. However, at the time of J.C. Brown, the idea of continental drift hadn't been accepted into the mainstream, so the thought of a sunken continent seemed entirely plausible to most people. Brown had amassed a sizable following in Stockton. Looking at the accounts of his followers, it's clear that he had essentially formed a cult of personality, with members of his organization seemingly believing everything he said. However, despite that belief, Brown never made good on his promise. On the day of the expedition, J.C. Brown went missing, with his followers waiting late into the night for any sign of their leader. To this day, nobody knows what happened, and his followers never saw him again. Frankly, it sounds like an elaborate scam, but according to police, J.C. Brown never received any money from his followers, suggesting that he sincerely believed what he was saying. To this day, nobody knows why or how J.C. Brown disappeared, but his claim about giant humans is, strangely, not an isolated incident. Moving forward into the 1940s, we have an anecdote from a woman named Lois Jessop. She claimed to have been on a tour within the Hal Saflieni Hypogeum in Malta, a set of catacombs underneath the town of Paola. According to her account of the incident, she had convinced her guide to let her explore deeper into one of the burial chambers, where she found an opening in the wall. The following is apparently a direct quote.
"With half-burnt candles in our hands, the four of us started through that low, narrow passage. I came out first, onto a ledge pathway only 2 feet wide, with a sheer drop of 50 feet or more on my right and the wall on my left. I held my candle higher and peered down into the abyss. Then I saw about 20 persons of giant stature emerge from an opening deep below me. They were walking in single file along another narrow ledge down below. Their height I judged to be about 20 to 25 feet, since their heads came up about halfway to the wall on the opposite side of the cave. They walked very slowly, taking long strides. Then they all stopped, turned, and raised their heads in my direction. All simultaneously raised their arms and with their hands beckoned me. The movement was something like snatching, or feeling for something, as the palms of their hands were turned down.
A sudden draft of air extinguished Jessup's candle, causing her to panic and retreat back with her group. Days later, she claims she read of another story from that very tomb, in which a classroom of 30 children were cut from their safety rope and fell into the same pit. I love this story, but it's pretty safe to say that it's fake. It reads like a creepypasta, and no record of Lois Jessup beyond her role in this story exists. That story of the missing children is another common myth associated with the Halsafleni Hypogeum, and I expect that whoever wrote this story was inspired by that one. Even still, I think it illustrates the fascination that people have with the thought of underground giants, and it's a deeply entertaining story. So let's move on to our last story. This one is super weird, and I feel like I should disclose this ahead of time. Extremely untrue. In late 2014, satirical news site World News Daily Report published a story titled "Smithsonian Admits to Destruction of Thousands of Giant Human Skeletons in the Early 1900s." The article claimed, as a joke mind you, that the US Supreme Court had declassified documents from the Smithsonian which detailed a conspiracy to suppress information proving the existence of giants, as it ran contrary to common understandings of evolution. The article weaved a story of inside information and whistleblowers, claiming that tens of thousands of skeletons, some 12 feet in height, had been destroyed. Despite being obviously fake, and originating from an explicitly satirical website, the concept caught on. This was partially due to the fact that the article itself was written in a way that didn't necessarily communicate that it was satire. It was structured very similarly to a genuine news article, citing specific names and organizations, all of which were made up. Another reason why this myth caught on within certain circles is that it was inspired by existing hoaxes. Doctored images and blog posts from the early 2000s have all made claims about some big archaeological cover-up, spreading so far that they caught the attention of National Geographic, who have been trying to debunk them for years now. You might be wondering who on earth would believe these kinds of stories, and most people would just see this article and either recognize that it was fake or simply forget about it within a couple of weeks. But to people who have been engaging with conspiracy circles for a long time, these fake stories can be mistaken for validation. It can be dangerous to outright dismiss conspiracy theorists as nutsos because this sort of thing doesn't just happen. People believe in conspiracy theories after years of manipulation, whether that's from people who want easy money or even just people looking for a laugh. It's important for us to look at what causes these ideas to disseminate so we can better communicate the truth. So, with all of that said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but giants aren't real.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That was Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.